Today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report, I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Lendustry has announced it has been selected to administer the California Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program. The program will include separate application groups for agricultural businesses affected by drought and flood, respectively. Grant amounts will range from $20,000 to $100,000 and will be determined by the degree of profit loss the business has experienced. A study out of the University of California Merced Water Systems Management Lab reports that California's irrigated farmland shrank by nearly 10%. Compared with 2019, which has cost $1.7 billion in losses. The owners, most of whom represent families and multi-generation businesses, have done their best to nourish the crops with very limited resources. Eligible agricultural businesses must be located in California and currently active and operating, with operations beginning prior to January 1st of 2020. Drought applicants will be asked to show a decline in annual gross receipts or gross profits comparing to 2022 and 2019 taxable years. Official records from the U.S. Department of Agriculture will confirm that a business's area has experienced severe drought. Flood applicants will need to confirm that they are in a state or federally declared disaster area. Agricultural business owners are encouraged to apply at cadroughtfloodrelief.com. Jason Woodbridge, owner and winemaker of one of the world's most sought-after wines, has filed a lawsuit against the county of Napa after the county refused to issue permits for water wells on Woodbridge's vineyard properties in violation of state and federal law. Woodbridge's lawsuit challenges the county's disregard both of state water rights and of its own regulations. Under state and county laws, the well permits should have been granted as a matter of course and without excessive and discriminatory restrictions on water use. Instead, Napa County officials refused to issue the permits unless Woodbridge agreed to a strict limit on the water that could be drawn annually from each well, a restriction that the county does not apply to existing wells, even though Woodbridge has the same legal right to use the water underlying his properties as do property owners with existing wells. The county has denied water permits at four of Woodbridge's vineyards. The suit was filed in a federal court on September 5th in the United States District Court for the Northern District of California against Napa County and seeks a court order declaring the county's actions violate California law governing water rights, as well as the 5th and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. It also seeks unspecified damages and attorney's fees. This is the second lawsuit that Woodbridge and 100 Acre has filed against the county. In October of 2022, Woodbridge filed a lawsuit against Napa County alleging governmental overreach. He sued Napa County for attempting to force him to replant high fire risk trees. Instead, he installed an experimental vineyard that provides a fire break and safety measures for his vineyard and neighborhood. On the evening of September 5th, Sunview Marketing International had a fire breakout in McFarland. No injuries were reported. The damage was limited to packing material and associated structures. Thanks to the swift action of its staff and a Kern County Fire Department, all associates were safely evacuated and cold storage facilities were unharmed. Sunview Marketing is grateful for the support of its employees, neighbors, and colleagues as it continues normal business operations, according to a statement from the company. The California Strawberry Commission has hired two key leaders to advance a state-chartered agency through research and communications. William Bill Turecek is joining the CSC as Vice President of Research. He joins the CSC after serving since 2006 as a research plant pathologist at the USDA Agricultural Research Horticultural Research Laboratory in Fort Pierce, Florida. There he worked on epidemiology and management of strawberry and vegetable diseases, according to a news release. Among his accomplishments, he has published over 100 peer-reviewed research articles and book chapters, raised tens of millions of dollars in extramural funding, and has served as senior editor for journals, plant disease, and phytopathology. In addition, the CSC has also named Jeff Cardinale as director of communications. Among his duties, Cardinale will lead positive marketing message campaigns highlighting the importance of California strawberries and the industry itself to the local communities where strawberries are grown, as well as to local, state, and national stakeholders. Having led the commission response to January and March flooding events, Cardinale will oversee media relations and crisis communications, according to the release. Prior to his work in agricultural communications, Cardinale served as a public information officer for the Fresno Police Department. He also brings more than 15 years' experience in television news management, where he won 6 Emmy Awards for Best Newscast, according to the release. As part of the marketing and media relations campaigns, he will introduce new ways of reaching the media, as well as the local strawberry farming communities to stay engaged with the industry. It won't be long before retailers are going to expect grower shippers to meet cybersecurity standards because a ransomware attack at any link in a supply chain can hurt grocers as well as other produce companies. So says Johnny McGuire, director of information technology at the Noons Company, a Salinas, California-based vegetable grower with the Foxy label. He's also chairman of the ProduceSupply.org Cybersecurity Council. There are about 25 members, mostly large produce firms, but the guidelines are applicable to small companies as well. He says they are trying to get as many growers, shippers, and suppliers in the produce industry engaged because of the disastrous ramifications of these attacks and the fact that membership is greatly impacted. He says more collaboration is needed to better secure companies from cyber attacks. After all, it's a referential business and companies sell the same thing under different labels. And he goes on to say, because they're so connected through working in this commodity business, the attack surface is wide and everyone needs to be careful together. In addition, McGuire is working to make the traceability and record-keeping requirements of Rule 204 of the Safety Modernization Act easier to understand and implement.
Last Wednesday, it was announced that India's retaliatory tariffs on almonds were removed, bringing the tariff rate back down to 35 rupees per kilogram on in-shell and 100 rupees per kilogram on kernels. The 20% retaliatory tariffs were announced back in June 2018 and imposed in 2019 by India in response to the Trump administration's tariffs on steel and aluminum, among other actions. India raised the applied tariff rates on almonds exported to India from 35 rupees to 41 rupees per kilogram on in-shell and from 100 rupees to 120 rupees per kilogram on kernels. Julie Adams, Vice President of Global Technical and Regulatory Affairs at Almond Board of California, explained the impact these tariffs had on the industry up to this point.
India is our largest export market, and so to see retaliatory tariffs that make it harder to ship almonds is always a concern. And so India had announced they were going to put in place these retaliatory tariffs back in May 2018. And this was at the same time we had retaliatory tariffs go in place from China and Turkey as well. It was 2019 when they actually implemented the retaliatory duties. And the problem that really caused for us is that with our largest export destination and having these additional duties in those three markets, which are three important markets, we estimated that over the 5 years or so that those were in place, we probably saw a lost economic opportunity to the tune of about $550 million between those three markets over that time frame. So we've been engaging a lot with U.S. government, with trade negotiators, really trying to impress on them the importance of eliminating these retaliatory duties, so we could get back to the business of shipping almonds to these markets with minimal disruptions. So when Prime Minister Modi was in DC for his first state visit, we heard that we had a really successful result in that the U.S. ambassador, the U.S. trade negotiator, and Prime Minister Modi were announcing that they were going to be lifting these retaliatory duties. And so this was in June. So we've just been waiting for that decision to be put into effect. So it was just this past week that we actually saw those duties lifted. And so as of September 6th, we were back to where we were in 2019 with the reduced duty.
While almonds have always been an integral part of India's culture, the market is opening up even more with a surging middle class. Now that the retaliatory tariffs have been removed, this will allow almonds to thrive even more in the country and let Almond Board of California explore marketing opportunities further.
You've always seen almonds included in festivals, and they were part of weddings and gift giving. And there was always a very strong belief that you give your children almonds in the morning, and this is going to help their cognitive abilities. They're going to succeed more in school. So it's really an incredible part of the lifestyle of India. So we've, through our programs, we've tried to really emphasize that cultural tradition, but also to broaden the usage of almonds. So we're looking at how can we do more with ingredients? How can we do more with cricket, which is such a big activity in India? And you have a number of the championships going on. So how can we leverage that to promote the use of almonds? How do we start moving into other markets? So not just the major cities, but second and third tier cities, and get broader consumption. And what we've really seen is an incredible response to those activities. There's a lot of belief in the health research that we're doing. There's a lot of belief in the new product opportunities. So for the almond industry, we really see India as being a driver for demand and our export activities.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
With harvest underway throughout four growing regions, Pear Bureau Northwest has announced the first estimate of the 2023 to 2024 fresh pear crop for Washington and Oregon. The industry's fresh pear estimate is 15.2 million standard box equivalents, which is on par with the four-year average. As for the organic pears, the estimate is expected to come in at 1.9 million standard box equivalents, or 12.5% of the total projected Northwest crop. The American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist Roger Cryan testified at the ongoing federal milk marketing order pricing formula hearing. Farm Bureau membership includes cooperatives and independent dairy farmers, most of whom are directly or indirectly affected by the pricing provisions in the milk marketing orders. Farm Bureau's testimony focused on the reduction or elimination of negative producer price differentials and a depooling they cause. An orderly pool is the key to orderly marketing, and the continued benefits of the federal milk marketing orders for farmers, cooperatives, processors, and consumers, according to the organization. The key to an orderly pool is a proper alignment of the four class prices. Other proposals include supporting the National Milk Producers Federation's suggestion to drop barrel cheese from Class 3 component and price calculations. And AFBF also proposes that 640-pound blocks get added to the National Dairy Sales Report, to the cheddar cheese price calculation, and to the Class 3 protein calculation. Farmers are seeing another decline in direct government payments. USA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford has the story.
Net cash income for U.S. farmers last year came in at over $202 billion, far and away a record high. And so,
it's not a surprise to anyone that 2023 may be forecast to come in lower.
USDA Deputy Chief Economist Cindy Nickerson, and yes, USDA is forecasting net cash income this year down by about $53.5 billion, or a decline of about 26.5%. Lots of contributors to the lower number. One of them is another decline in direct government payments to producers. Cindy says with the almost complete phase out of pandemic assistance programs,
government payments are forecast at $12.6 billion. Which is just shy of $3 billion lower than 2022. And if realized, that would be almost a 19% decline in government payments.
And about a 27% decline from 2020, when government farm payments peaked at about $46.5 billion. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Gevo Incorporated has announced it has received a $30 million grant from USDA for its Climate Smart Farm to Flight program. The grant is from USDA's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities. The Gevo program is intended for tracking and quantifying the carbon intensity impact of climate smart practices while creating new market incentives for low carbon intensity corn to help accelerate the production of sustainable aviation fuel and low CI ethanol. The current farm bill expires on September 30th, and as Congress prepares a short-term extension, producer organizations are ramping up the urgency of their request. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more.
With new challenges in the global marketplace, the Rural and Agriculture Council of America is asking Congress to bolster American agricultural production in the next iteration of the Farm Bill.
The success of the 2023 Farm Bill will be determined by its ability to ensure national security throughout food security. A Farm Bill should not bolster foreign adversaries, but rather identify ways to support domestic producers. An easy way to do this is through stricter country of origin labeling requirements on imported products and addressing unfair trade practices. A spring 2023 study from the U.S. Department of Agriculture showed that consumers are willing to pay up to $3.67 per pound more if they know it was born, raised, harvested, and processed in the United States. Consumers want to support American agriculture and are willing to put their money where their mouth is. It's time for Congress to do so, too.
The Rural and Agriculture Council of America would like to see the 2023 Farm Bill level the playing field for U.S. producers and points to how countries like China are gaining U.S. market share.
China was the third largest international supplier of agriculture products to the U.S. in 2022. That's up nearly 10% to the value of $9.5 billion. Processed canned fruits and vegetables grown and packaged in China were one of the top products imported into the U.S. Imports of canned meat since 2018 are over 400%. It's extremely concerning to U.S. farmers, ranchers, and consumers that the U.S. continues to allow imports from countries that enable forced slave labor on farms, ranches, and in their processing facilities. China and Brazil both rank high in agriculture exports and forced labor violations. This needs to change. Congress needs to work on language in the 2023 Farm Bill that addresses and acknowledges the impact of these practices and ensures that unacceptable production standards are being dealt with and allow our producers to fairly compete in the global marketplace.
For more information, visit the Rural and Agriculture Council of America's Farm Bill Action Center at ruralag.org. Michael Clements reporting.
Velita Avocados of Far Texas has introduced a new bag for retailers seeking to make their produce departments more sustainable. With a label made of paper film and netting composed of cellulose fiber yarn from Forest Stewardship Council certified eucalyptus wood, the bag is 100% plastic free. The netting is TUV certified, home compostable, and industrial compostable as well, according to a company news release. Velita says it is the first produce company to offer this packaging in North America. Consumer demand for sustainable products has been well established. 47% of consumers surveyed are concerned about the environmental impact of fresh produce packaging, according to a sustainable packaging report from Winsight Grocery Business that was published in 2023. 37% of those who surveyed consider environmental impacts of packaging and are willing to pay more for sustainably packaged produce, according to the release. The bags will be available for organic and conventional avocados beginning in late 2023.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.